And good morning. It is the Peace Officer Show today. We've got the two top law enforcement officers in the Des Moines County. We've got Chief Mark Denny of the Burlington Police Department. We also have Kevin Glendenning. He is the Sheriff of Des Moines County. We're talking law enforcement. If you were listening on the radio, you heard that we're talking about a program. It's apparently a nationwide program. It's called Coffee with a Cop. And Chief Denny, this is, I guess what, is it just, this is a program you just, you're going to flesh out the details on that. Is this right?
I've done it in other organizations I've been with and thought it was time to bring it to Burlington. It's been around for quite a while. It's a good concept to get to know the officers, get to know the public a little bit better. They can have a one-on-one conversations. There's no agendas. People can come up and talk to the officers and just have a cup of coffee with them if they choose, or just sit there and shoot the breeze for a little bit. And if they have any concerns or problems that they'd like to bring forward, the officers are there just to kind of listen and give them some advice.
So. You've got, we move into the warmer weather season. I know you've got, you've had bike patrols out there. You still have bike patrols, don't you?
We do. Yes, we do.
Now, are they for just special occasions, or are they on a regular rotation?
Well, with our staffing shortage, it's hard to man it all the time, or staff it, I should say. And so we do it on special occasions or when we have the opportunities. Obviously, the weather is a prevailing factor as well, but we do try to get it out in special events. But we were trying to have that as an assignment that we could do on a shift if we're staffed enough.
And I know we were talking about community policing or whatever. That means getting visibility out there, out on the street, out in the place. Community policing, is that Des Moines County, you've got, you're in charge of, obviously, Des Moines County. As far as I know, all of the other communities in Des Moines County, including Burlington, except for Burlington and West Burlington, you guys are the law enforcement officers, aren't you?
Yeah, so Burlington and West Burlington, they all obviously have their own law enforcement, and we provide that law enforcement to all the rural communities and then the Mediapolis, Danville, and Middletown. So we're their law enforcement provider.
Okay. So in the county, how different are things in the county in terms of law enforcement? What sort of crime? I mean, crimes that you see in the county are usually different than probably crimes you'd see in the city. Or are they?
Well, to an extent, you don't have the close homes in the county like you do in the city, so you won't have witnesses. People feel a little bit more safe, for instance, to do a burglary of a rural home because there's not neighbors around. So sometimes we've dealt with that. Luckily, we've had a lot of success on that, with modern day cameras and whatnot. We have a lot of success with that. So those have really slowed down, not like they were years ago.
Well, even just the automatic lights that pop on, the motion lights, you have motion lights and a camera, you've got a pretty good, in fact, the door, what do they call it? The doorbell cameras is what it is, mostly to stop the porch. What is it? The porch pirates? I think is that what it is?
Yeah, sure, that's the word for it. Yep.
And again, it is. So, from a standpoint, I guess how many? In other words, we talked about also you've seen Crime Stoppers, and Crime Stoppers is also a resource for the whole county and the area. But how much does Crime Stoppers help you or you? In terms of getting information or solving crime?
Well, the organization itself, they do great things for the community. They do a lot of outreach, but they also raise funds. They support us and a tip hotline for people. It's a way that people can report crime to remain anonymous and possibly even receive a reward when they're able to help us out with locating somebody or just reporting crimes in their area.
How many calls? Any idea how many calls they get on Crime Stoppers, Chief?
I'm not sure what their stats are, but I'm going to tell you, we work with them a lot, and they help us a great deal with getting out awards, rewards for, tips and things that come through their office. So we have a liaison in our office that works with them directly, and we engage in how much the tips should pay out and those types of things.
Well, I know you've got a Facebook page, and you also have some, I know you... you don't have an officer dedicated to being just on Facebook or keeping watch on Facebook. It's amazing how many people, if they commit something or do something, they cannot resist the urge to advertise it. I don't know if that something that you either have you ever had that? Have you had that effect happen, or have you solved something because of somebody posting something?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be quite honest, it's slowed down a little bit. I think the bad guys have kind of caught on that they need to be a little bit more careful. They'll use other apps that they believe to be secretive or that they can't be located on, just ways to communicate or ways to send photos of a piece of stolen property or something like that. They've gotten a little bit more careful, but we still have a lot of success with those with finding information through those electronic means.
Identity theft. It's a word. It's a problem. It's something that my credit is frozen solid, but it is, I can unthaw it for when I want, but it's basically, I can use anything that I've got that an account. But I also have, if anybody tries to do an inquiry or tries to steal or tries to set up an account in my name, it automatically gets rejected because all three credit bureaus basically we have my name and there's a fraud alert on it plus a freeze. I don't know how I found out that it's a pretty common thing that there's a lot of people have the very same thing. And I guess the fact is we talk about what's going on out in the Ukraine and we also talk about hacking. And I don't know. Hacking. Where does most of the identity theft is it through electronic hacking or is it? I know we also hear about people that just simply utilize the phone and phone scams. What seems to be the biggest thing around here?
Well, cybercrime is a big problem, and it's not from our own country. A lot of times, it's from out of our country. So a lot of these things go for a long period of time before anyone's ever caught. But a lot of these phone scams that pop up constantly, just got to be wary of the information that you're giving out to people. Verify before you do anything. Most legitimate companies that are going to do business with you aren't going to contact you through a text message or by a phone call.
Now, how does the police department get involved in these directly, Chief?
Superficially, we'll take a report and try to identify where this information came from, but a lot of times we're not successful in that. And
okay.
There's a database that can go up through the different sources. They get copies of these reports, and then they
there is technology out there to thwart the people that try to. How big do you have from a standpoint of scams? How big is I know telephone scams are going to be reported. I guess directly to your office. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. 10 years ago, it was terrible. We had a lot of these probably daily. People have gotten very aware now. We've tried to increase that public awareness, and people have learned that these callers are just going to be just very bold and aggressive. But it's okay to say no. And if you have concerns, just call us and we can look into it. And we'll definitely be there to reassure you that you don't have to answer their questions. You don't have to do anything for them. They'll say things like you're going to be arrested or something like that. And we're here to help you out if you have any of those concerns. But don't give your information out over the phone.
Okay. Well, that's one thing that we've heard, and I know that has been, we've had it reported from, I think it was Milestone's Agency on Aging, a call will come in to someone, and it will be someone who's done just a little bit of research. They know who they know the family, they know maybe what the names are of the grandchildren, et cetera, and where they live, perhaps, and somebody will call and say, Grandma, this is your grandson, Blake, and I have I am in a terrible fix. I'm down in wherever it was, and I desperately need to have some money sent to me right away so I can get out. My car is shut down and I can't get home. So that seems to be a fairly common thing nationwide. Is that, have you had that scam?
We did. We've had some of those exact scams, and sometimes they won't even have that, the name of the grandchild. They'll just call and they'll say, "Grandma, are you there? Can you hear me?" And then the grandparents will give away the name, say, "Is this Blake?" And then they'll just go with that, and they'll start the conversation off that way. Yeah, we did see a lot of that, and hopefully through just educating the public that that's slowed those down. We have seen those slow down quite a bit.
Chief, you've been here 13 months now, or four, no, 15 months. You've been here a year and a third. And before that, you were in, I believe, in the you're in the Portland area for a while, the Seattle area for a while. How different has 15 months here been for you than your 15 months prior?
It's been very good. I got to say that just climate-wise and the community has been very supportive of law enforcement here, and we are very appreciative. We got a great department. The officers are trying to do the right thing each and every day for the citizens, and the citizens seem to care about what's going on. So that's very important.
And it's I think that we had Jason Marlowe on, and we was talking about, he said, "I'm very glad to be right here. I'm glad to be in Iowa rather than to be in some of these other places where they've got some real hard issues." It's crazy right now in California. I don't know how it is. I don't know if it's still bad in Portland or Seattle or not. But
it was so bad that they were trying to overturn some of the legislation that was adopted for not just the funding issues, but all the other issues that they were trying to, qualified immunity and all these other things were going on in Washington. They tried to overturn that, and they were unsuccessful.
Didn't they have what was called a law enforcement free zone in Seattle? Was that?
Yes, they did, and in Portland for a little while as well.
Okay, yeah. How did that work?
Well, they just occupied a couple square blocks of the city and took over that, and didn't allow the law enforcement to do their job in those areas, and so they had to go in with the National Guard and police eventually. But a lot of those things were...
Was that connected, do you think, to the pandemic, do you think? Or was it...
That was pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic? Okay. Yep. And, you know, that's the other question I have. Pandemic appears to be... Well, I've declared it over, but that's just me. I think, in fact, I had not been in a plane. When we went away for spring break, I had not been in a plane since 2019, which was a spring break vacation at that time. I hadn't been in a plane at all, and I, you know, the thing I noticed was that when you go into the second you walk in the airport, you got to be masked up. You got to keep that mask on. You get onto the plane, keep the mask on. You get when you keep the mask all through there, and then I guess you can take the mask down if you're going to sip on something. But well, anyway, it's. From the time we were in one airport, it was in Burlington. We flew out of Burlington. I put the mask on as we went in, and we had that mask on until we got all the way to our destination. So but it's gone. I believe that's coming off this month. It should be done, I think, in another week. From a pandemic standpoint, how different? Would you say it's the pandemic is no more of an issue, is totally not an issue anymore?
I don't say it's totally a non-issue, but at the same time, I think Iowa's handled it very well and very conservatively.
Okay.
And it was totally a different atmosphere, and we're in Washington State, for an example, than it was here when I arrived. So,
and it really hasn't, has it had any effect? You said the pandemic was not a major problem with any of your, maybe except in the very early, the early going, is that right?
No, we had to adapt just like everybody else. You know, there was a lot of unknown and concerns of what was to come. I think it was a lot of those fears were built up. That being said, you know, there's, I think a lot of us were affected in a terrible way. There's loved ones lost throughout it, and it was difficult. But it does really feel like we moved on from that. That we're clear of it, and I like the feeling that we're back to our normal where we were.
Well, you had a number of staff members, didn't you? That did have COVID. Is that right?
Sure. We didn't have anybody that dealt with it that got terribly sick. But you know, with those concerns, we had to have people stay home, and when they tested positive, we had to be down staff members, and there were some difficulties there, but we rolled through it, and it feels good to have that in the rear view.
What about the police department? Have you had a number of cases of COVID in the police department?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We had officers that had to stay home, just like the sheriff's department did, and yeah, it affected us just like everywhere else.
Well, know? I had in the first week of February, it was a Saturday. I woke up and I had a scratchy throat. And anyway, but it was real. Like I said, oh, I probably just slept. You know, I just need, you know, gargle a little bit. Felt okay. Went to work and nothing was bothering me at all. Did the normal shift and the show, and then went home. Happened to mention to my wife, hey, I had a scratchy throat when I got up. She said, well, we got eight of these test kits right here. You probably ought to at least do a test on it just to make sure, just to be on the safe side. Anyway, so I took a test, and it was, what? It's positive? I said, but I'm not sick. And she said, hey, okay, take another. It may be a false. It may be a false positive. I can't try it another one in four hours, and I did. And anyway, so... You know what? The biggest thing I found is I never was sick. I would never have missed a single minute of work because of it. But I said, okay, I'm now home for 5 days, basically, because I've got to follow the same protocol that everybody does. Hmm. I did everything. I did learn how to do some stuff from home that I didn't realize that I could do. But, it mostly the biggest problem I had was boredom. Yeah. I think that was the biggest problem. But regardless of that, let's hope that this thing is really. It seems, and most of I understand that the event we went to a concert at the Memorial Auditorium, which is a sold out show, with Mannheim Steamroller back in December, and I said, you know what? If it's not over, it's got to be really close. But anyway, we're going to talk more. We move into the spring season. That also means we move into the warmer weather season. Doesn't feel like it today, but but it's warm weather means boating and all sorts of motorcycles and cycling and all sorts of things. We'll talk a little bit about all of the things that are the warm weather season stuff. We'll get to that right after the news.
Well, what shall we talk about?
You're listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's still sitting out there, and they're trying to find him a team. And you have a Mary Kay Cabot report that OBJ would be willing to go back to Cleveland. So let's try and figure out what that means. My guess is this. Like, yes, that's the ultimate. It was Baker, not anybody else. Baker, not anybody else. I'll go back there.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
2 to 5 weekdays on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with a booming voice that emphasizes all the main points. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
That part is super important.
Here's one with a booming voice.
I'm emphasizing everything.
Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance.
Like a page with every word highlighted.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Straight Talk Wireless now has the new iPhone 13 with Cinematic Mode, which lets you focus on what matters. And with Straight Talk, you can focus on getting the best deal. Our Silver Unlimited plan is just $45 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. And it runs on the largest, most dependable networks, now with nationwide 5G. With the iPhone 13 on Straight Talk, you can share whatever you want, wherever you want. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Accidents and storms can cause power lines to fall to the ground. Access Energy Cooperative reminds you one wrong move can mean the difference between life and death. If you encounter a downed power line, stay away at least 30 feet. Don't drive or walk over it. They do not have to be sparking to be live and dangerous. In most cases, you cannot see, smell, or hear electricity, and you have no way of knowing if that line is energized. The lines, wires, and things like tree limbs on them all have potential to be dangerous, even the ground around the area. Call 911 and just stay away until the utility arrives and confirms that the power is off. If power lines fall on your vehicle, don't try to drive away or get out. Call for help and stay inside until the utility confirms it is safe to get out. If there's fire, jump out of the vehicle with both feet hitting the ground at the same time. Do not allow any part of your body to touch the vehicle and the ground at the same time. Hop away to safety with your feet together. Know what to do to keep your family safe. Visit AccessEnergyCoop.com for more safety ideas. Access Energy Cooperative, a Touchstone Energy Co-op.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington Police Department has announced a new program that allows the public to interact with local police officers. In an online post, the BPD announced the new Coffee with a Cop program. The program will take place at local coffee shops and allow the public to sit and have a cup of coffee with a local police officer. The program is designed for the public to be able to ask questions, raise concerns, and interact with local law enforcement. The program is still in the planning stages. Follow the BPD on Facebook for further updates. A judge in Polk County is expected to rule on whether Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Abby Finkenauer's name should be listed on the June primary ballot. Radio Iowa reports that the judge heard legal arguments Wednesday over errors on a small group of signatures on Finkenauer's nominating petitions, which were accepted by a state panel last week. Alan Ostegren, the attorney for the Republicans challenging the decision, said,
"The answer should not be, as it apparently was from this panel, that we should just ignore any law that we need to in order to get this candidate on the ballot."
If the judge rules that the signatures fail to meet the legal requirements, Finkenauer would fall short of the number of signatures needed to appear on the June 7th primary ballot. The Indiana State Police say they used genealogical data and crime scene evidence to link an Iowa man who died in 2013 to the killings of three female motel clerks and sexual assault of a fourth in Indiana and Kentucky from 1987 to 1990. Sergeant Glenn Feifeld said Tuesday that Harry Edward Greenwell, who died at 68 in New Albany, Iowa, was the so-called I-65 killer. He says evidence linked Greenwell to the 1987 rape and killing of Vicki Heath at a motel in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and to the March 1989 killings of Margaret, Peggy Gill, and Jeanette Gilbert at motels in Indiana. It also linked him to the 1990 sexual assault of an Indiana motel worker who escaped. From the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The number of people filing for first-time jobless help last week fell to a half-century low.
166K, the estimate was 200,000. Continuing claims, though, they rose to 1.523 million. That's way hotter than expectations there.
Cheryl Cassoni with the Fox Business Network. The governor of Michigan is suing over abortion rights. Gretchen Whitmer asking a Michigan court to recognize a right to abortion under the state constitution and to overturn a 176-year-old ban in the state that may take effect if the landmark Roe v. Wade ruling is vacated. And on day one of the Masters, storms causing delays.
Fans attending today's opening round will have to wait just a little bit longer to catch the trio of Tiger Woods, Louis Oosthuizen, and Joaquin Niemann.
Fox's Tushar Saxena. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Cloudy, a 30% chance of showers this morning, 60% likely this afternoon, a high to 45 with west winds gusting to 30 miles an hour. Cloudy, a 50% chance of rain tonight, possibly mixed with or changing to snow overnight, a low down to 33 with a northwest wind gusting to 25, a 30% chance of snow showers early on Friday, possibly some rain after that, a high to 41 degrees, mostly cloudy Friday night, down to 30. Right now, overcast skies, 41.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are mixed on Wall Street this morning after yesterday's plunge. Investors found out from the Fed meeting minutes that the Fed will likely raise interest rates faster and higher than first thought. to fight inflation. 166,000 people applied for unemployment benefits last week, the lowest level since 1968, as the job market is tight. Shell says its decision to pull out of Russia in response to the country's invasion of Ukraine has already cost the oil giant as much as $5 billion. Constellation Brands out with quarterly results that beat Wall Street expectations. It's the parent of Mondavi Wine and Modelo Beer. The Social Security Administration is opening local offices around the country today after they were closed 2 years ago in the pandemic. The Masters Golf is on at Augusta, although it's been delayed by weather. Tiger Woods' tee time's been pushed this morning to just after 11 a.m. Eastern. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Hey, hey you. Ever wanted to learn a new language, like French or Spanish, or even Norwegian, but thought it'd be too difficult or time-consuming? If so, it's time to try Babbel. Babbel lets you customize how and when you learn. Quick 10-minute lessons on words.
Siesta.
Bambola. Phrases and grammar.
Los dan coffee.
To games that keep it exciting. Listen to podcasts on the go or take live online classes with a real teacher.
Hola, clase. ¿Cómo están?
It's really up to you. In no time, chatting about real-life topics will feel, well, effortless. Go ahead. See where Babbel takes you.
Ah, Paris.
More ways to explore. More ways to learn. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Sports injuries can happen to anyone while exercising. Whether you go to the gym four times a week or you're a weekend warrior, Orthopedics at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center knows your risk for a sports injury increases when you don't warm up first. Sprains, shoulder injuries, and shin splints are the most common. Play it safe. And when the unexpected happens, call Orthopedics at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in Fort Madison or West Burlington. Learn more at greatriverhealth.org.
Get 11% off everything for your dream backyard at Menards. Make your patio a relaxing haven with a new patio set from Backyard Creations. Menards has over 50 options in stock to choose from, like a wrought iron three-piece patio set. It features two barrel chairs and a bistro table and is just $299 after sale price and 11% rebate. Good through April 9th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
Let's keep on celebrating the year 2022 with a $2,022 cash grab at Catfish Bend Casino. Nine winners will be selected every Friday in April to grab for the cash. One drawing every 15 minutes Friday nights between 7 and 9. Earn an entry for every 50 points earned daily, 5 times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Grab for the cash and win up to $2,022. See Player Services for details. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news. The
weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Little theme from Law & Order. You realize this show has been on the air 25 years? Or one form of Law & Order has been on? We've got the Chief Law Enforcement Officers in Des Moines County, Chief Mark Denny from the Burlington Police Department, Kevin Glenn Denning from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. The Chief is beginning his 15th month. And Kevin, how long is this now? It's a year, about the same amount of time, right?
I just started my 22nd year.
But in terms of as sheriff.
About 16 months now.
Yeah. All right. It's been an interesting 16 months. Some transitions have been going on here. And I guess if you had to say what's the biggest thing you've learned being sheriff as opposed to being a deputy, what would you say that was?
I'd say one of the biggest things you learn is how important it is to keep people happy, you're really in the business of just being responsive to a lot of your staff and the public. Keeping the right resources, keeping positive attitudes, what that means is they're going to be more productive throughout the day, throughout the week. They're going to do better for your community. The big thing is how we treat our people will reflect on how they treat the public. So if they're treated well and they feel like they're part of something great, then they're going to go out and do that for the public. So that's the goal, is to be that person. But sometimes it's hard. You're balancing out trying to keep all your groups happy and keep them in a position to serve the public the best.
Administration, is that how big of a part of your job is administration?
Well, it's a huge part. You've got to balance a budget and balance personnel. And you're kind of a lot of just having the right resources at the right places and making sure you can balance that out. And then as the curveballs come throughout the day and week, you've got to deal with those as well. So things constantly pop up, but that's what we got into this for. It makes it exciting, makes it fun.
Administration, obviously, that's pretty much the name of your job, isn't it, Chief?
Pretty much, yes, it is.
Now, one of the things we've seen is we were talking about staff shortages in hospitals. Have you had what about the staff? Have you had any staff shortages you've had to deal with here?
We are currently facing staff shortages, and we are trying to fill those vacancies that we do have. We're having a testing coming up, but it's very difficult to get the numbers that we need to, because generally speaking, when we have low numbers of applicants testing, at the end of the day, we're not going to get the numbers that we need to fill those vacancies that we currently are.
How about with the sheriff's department?
So right now we're full staffed, but I'd say this last year has been a rebuilding year. We lost a lot of years of service through a couple retirements,
right.
And we've been able to fill those spots. But of course, that takes about 8 months for somebody to get. 4 months for somebody to get through the academy, and then another 4 months to get them through our field training process. So it's you're essentially going without those spots for 8 months.
And retirement staff officers coming up on retirement. You've got a fairly large number of officers that have been here a very long time, right?
That's correct. We've got we lost a few one for retirement this last year, a few others to other agencies and things like that. So we are down about six positions currently.
I asked Jason Marlowe when he was here the last time. I said, "So how do you staff? What's the staffing issue with the Iowa State Patrol?" I said, "Where do you find the?" He said, "Our staffing issue is all of these departments around the state, where we find the best people at all of the departments, and then we bring them on and hire them for the state patrol." So it's like I'm not going to say cannibalizing, but it's a little bit of trade and swap, so to speak.
We don't hold it against anybody. Obviously, if that's where their goals are, then we encourage that and we'll support that. The big thing is just finding these new people to fill in these spots. I look at it as we're all in this together. So if the sheriff's office is down a couple spots or Burlington's down a couple spots, we're all after the same goal of just making this the best community possible. But if we're taking officers from each other, then that's a struggle that the other's going to face.
Well, the other thing is we're also facing a lot of the universities, a lot of the colleges, Western Illinois in particular, University of Iowa, some other colleges and universities, had highly staffed and highly, you know, popular law enforcement degrees. They aren't having as many people in law enforcement degrees. And I think I'm not sure what the reason is. I don't know if some of the hubbub of the war on police or any of that thing. I don't know. But it's been, as we've talked about in the past, the numbers in terms of testing. In fact, I asked, I'll ask you, how many people were, when you tested to be in law enforcement, how many people were there in the testing?
There's about 120 for my testing.
Do you remember how many people were there for you?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, there was hundreds of applicants that were waiting in line for testing day. So
it changes. Well, that changes. How many applicants do you typically get in for a testing time now?
We were fortunate enough to get 18 the last go around, and out of the 18, we were able to pick up one out of the whole bunch.
So. How about you?
Yeah, our last testing, I think we're right in that same area, like 14, 15, and we're actually able to hire. We're just hiring our fourth off that list, so we had some really good applicants on that list.
So it's really it's sort of like throwing your your line out into a pond, and there's some places where it's been stocked pretty well, and other places where there's none of them around. You've got to really now standards. People have said it that in at a lot of the major cities, standards have they've had to lower standards. If I'm correct in my memory. You haven't lowered any standards, either one of you, have you?
No. Our standards are maintained the same. There are state requirements as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the applicants that we're getting just aren't are ready. And a lot of times the ones that are testing for multiple agencies, the process takes so long. If there's another agency that they're already in the running for another position, they get picked up before we can actually offer them a job. So,
so the demand is the demand for the for officers is high across the board.
Sure, that's really a market where if you're a strong candidate, you have a lot of great options. Whereas 20, 25 years ago, it wasn't so much that way. It was you're in a large pool, but we're still seeing good applicants.
Okay,
just not as many, and I think the struggles that we've had with some of those numbers, they've also washed out some of those applicants that weren't going to be a good fit to begin with. People that their heart really wasn't in it, but it was just kind of an afterthought or a second thought to maybe go into law enforcement or just to give it a try.
We were talking earlier, before we went on, I was talking about trying to find a rental car or use a rental car. And I've had, I think the story was trying to find vehicles. And I know that we've had a number of agencies that have been waiting in line. We had Chad Bird on with us, city manager, but he was talking about they've got trucks they need to replace, they got cars they need to replace, and they've had a hard time. They've been told you'll eventually get it. How about replacing vehicles in the police department?
Oh, we've 31 months for a patrol vehicle to get in on the state bid process, and that a lot of our other agents or organizations in the city basically are going out looking for used vehicles now because they can't get the vehicles that they need off of the state bid process. So.
Are you doing the same thing?
Same thing, yeah. Essentially, what's going on is the major vehicle manufacturers, Dodge, Chevy, Ford, they've shut down their order pool for state bid vehicles, for law enforcement vehicles. We don't know exactly when they're going to open up. Any vehicles that are out there on the market that were already manufactured, they're just almost impossible to find.
Well, and we talk about the chip shortage. Basically, we're talking microchips, and that goes into cars that the shortage of chips, they now are building. They're building a lot of these. There's three new manufacturing plants building chips that are going to be used for vehicles. But the demand is so high right now because there's a market out there. And I know that obviously, I'm going to guess law enforcement vehicles, you probably have quite a few chips in them, don't you?
Well, I mean, obviously the vehicle is
it's got to have all of the working equipment, right?
And then we install our other equipment that we need, our computers and things like that. So, but we haven't had a problem getting the accessory as much as the vehicle itself.
So used vehicles, the used vehicle market? Well, I know that the used vehicle market nationwide is very hot right now. But finding used vehicles that will fit your needs. Have you had any issues with that?
Well, we're waiting. You know,
everybody's waiting. Is that right?
The big issue for the law enforcement vehicles, this is my opinion, is that there's not a lot of markup on them, and I think there's an opportunity to make money on vehicles because of the shortages. We've all seen how the prices have been affected, but that state bid price is set by contract. And so now they've just made a determination that they're not going to make the vehicles at this cheaper price. They're going to sell them on a different market.
Well, you're going to be putting a lot of miles on any vehicle. Is that right?
That is correct. And or if we are involved in an accident and it's taken off the line, we're going to be short vehicles. That's where we're running.
Is there a certain mileage? I mean, do you have a mileage that's absolute? We can't go above that, or is that
not really anymore?
That's changed.
Right
too.
Now we're pushing up in the 150s and 160s on some of our vehicles just because you talk about the chip shortage. I got a letter a couple of weeks ago that basically said the two vehicles we were expecting were they weren't going to be able to make them and they couldn't honor the price in the future. So it's just harder to find vehicles. So we're going to keep the pursuit rated vehicles we have and maintain them as best we can.
My wife got a letter. I happened to buy a car for her in November of 2019. Talk about timing. Anyways, she got a letter and it was saying, we have somebody that really would love to buy your vehicle. and they're going to offer, I think, $3,000 or more for the vehicle than she paid for it. And she said, are they kidding? I mean, I'm not going to find, then I won't find it. Then if I did that, then I'd be stuck and I wouldn't find another vehicle. And because the price of used cars has gone up, but it's a universal issue. But anyway, we're gonna take a break. I want to talk about some of the other things that are going on, motorcycles and also bicycling and all of the other things that we have that are going on there, as well as school bus safety. We'll talk about that after this.
This, keep it on the down low here,
is the Dan Patrick Show.
Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, was on with us yesterday, and he had a guarantee for the Dodgers this season.
We are winning the World Series in 2022. Put it on record.
So what's the fallout if you don't win it? Oh, you said you guarantee. Okay, he believes in his team. But I appreciate, you know, Dave making the guarantee.
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
As much as you'd love to let your pet run free, there's always the fear of something happening. This is Dwight Mulch. With Preferred Pet Containment, that fear disappears. We have over 25 years of experience at keeping your dog and cat safe. Preferred Pet Containment provides you with a reliable underground pet fence system that's made right here in the United States. Feel safe giving your pet the freedom they deserve with Preferred Pet Containment, your authorized Pet Stop dealer. Check out our Facebook and the link to our website.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
There are so many fun and fascinating events happening at the Des Moines County Historical Society. Tuesday, April 12th, Burlington native Dr. Forrest Gaughan will share his vast knowledge of crinoids, from their earliest known species to the fossils we know today. Commonly known as sea lilies, this animal's fossils can be found right here in Burlington, the crinoid capital of the world. Doors open at 6 p.m. The free public presentation begins at 6:30 p.m. Check out the Des Moines County Historical Society's Facebook page for upcoming educational events and entertainment.
Welcome back on the talk show. And recently, we had a school bus basically a school bus in a semi accident. Nobody was seriously injured. It was school bus safety and school zones. And I know that we have the biggest issue you're facing was school bus problems or school bus violations. What's a typical school bus violation? Going around a vehicle, or going around a school bus?
Failing to stop for when the school bus has their stop sign out and lights on. Yes.
And now that's a pretty sizable ticket, isn't it?
Very much. Yeah.
Okay.
And we have a really good system in place of getting those violators as well. So
one of the things we were to also talk about, what about in the county? What about how big? Obviously, buses are going to be running a lot in the county. What are the issues? Do you face the same issues?
Yeah, same thing. It really comes down to, I think, just people are distracted. They're not focusing. And when a bus is approaching them, then they put their stop arm out. They look up and it's too late, and they go through it. I think people just need to be more aware and focus on driving. The other thing is just being unaware of the law. You can't overtake a bus once it turns on its flashing yellow lights. So going around it as it slows down, you're not allowed to do that. So that's another violation.
Okay. I think that's something that is confusing to a lot of people. They figure, well, if it's a flashing yellow, well, that's like the yellow light being flashed on the on the street light. It's not. It's do not. What is it? Red means stop. Green means go. And yellow means floor it, I think. Well, at least that's the joke that went around. But you can't. So you cannot pass. Also, yeah. I think especially for on a four lane street or on a four lane separated highway, it's different than it is a four lane street, is that right?
It is different in the opposite direction, so you don't have to stop coming in the opposite direction, but you can't overtake.
But you do have to stop, even on a divided highway, you have to stop if that school bus is pulling over. And I know that there are some areas, especially the nearer you are to town, they're going to pull over. You still have to come to a complete stop, even if it's a major highway, right?
That is correct.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about some of the other issues that are out there. Motorcycles, bicycles. I know that in the city, if I'm right, the city code, now we have some bike lanes that are now being established. I know they've got a complete streets program. But as far as I know, I'll tell you this, one of the biggest complaint calls we tend to get is that cyclists that tend to ride two or three abreast occupying a road. My understanding is the city code, or at least the city is basically asked that if you're riding in the city, if you're on a bike lane, that's one thing. But if you're on a regular street or highway or whatever, you must ride single file as far over to the right. Is that still true?
Yeah, that's actually in state code.
Is that state code? Yeah. Okay.
And there's probably cities that have adopted ordinances, but the state code requires them to ride nearest to the right.
Okay. Now, bike lanes would be somewhat of an exception to that. Is that right?
So, yeah, they're specific to the bikes, so they're designated for them. So that would change that situation.
Okay.
But otherwise, obviously, bicyclists have the right to the road, and drivers need to respect that and just give them their distance. They have the right to do that. Just drive safely, but the bicyclists are required to ride nearest to the right
one
side.
One of the other issues, speaking of bicycling, is that I am amazed at how many times, especially when the weather is, a little better than bad, how many times I will be driving to work and somebody is riding a bike. Typically, I'm on Sunnyside, then over on Oak Street to get here. But they're riding a bike and they have no lights. They've got no reflectors, and they're wearing dark clothes. And they just disappear. Now, I don't know if there's any regulations at all about that or not, but I think, I think death wish is what the only thing I can think of.
It's common sense and application and trying to be visible as possible on a bicycle or any smaller object than a motor vehicle, obviously.
One thing about it, another law, motorcycles. I mentioned motorcycles. I'm surprised when we're driving into the city of Chicago, how many, and I don't know if that's a Chicago ordinance or whether it's an Illinois ordinance, but cyclists will ride in the lane or on the yellow line or whatever, the line between the lanes and have cars on both sides. Is that legal in Iowa or not?
Now, the way the roads are laned for travel, they have to... They're just like any other motor vehicle. There are some states that allow that, specific to Illinois. I'm not
okay,
really certain.
Okay, all right,
states allow cutting traffic.
But not this state, is that right?
Right.
Okay, anyway, we're talking about, I guess what, cycling, we're talking about bicycles. We did talk about the bicycle. How often, as I said, your bicycle patrol, they go out, do you particularly target areas for the bicycle patrol, is that right?
We put a game plan together usually to where they're going to be the most effective and get the best use out of them. Because obviously it's a hard thing getting on a bicycle sometimes when you're not doing it on a regular basis. And so our officers have to get to be the most effective in the areas that they're patrolling.
And Coffee with a Cop, it's coming. It's going to be out there. Community policing, that's really ultimate in community policing, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been really engaged since I've been here and prior with our community policing efforts. And we're doing some other things. We've developed a community engagement unit as well. And they're going to start doing some town hall type of meetings and those types of things, putting events together for us, and just engaging with Neighborhood Watch program and other programs that are out there, trying to get block parties together again. We're going to do some barbecues with the police officers as well in the parks and things like that for commuting, so we can meet and greet.
Visibility and police officers, a good thing for whether you're in the Burlington Police Department or Des Moines County Sheriff Kevin Glendenning, Sheriff of Des Moines County, Mark Denny, Chief Mark Denny. Thank you so much for joining me today. Let's have a great month of April, and we'll see you guys hopefully in May, okay?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.